Bible, turn with us to a verse of scripture in the book of James. We're still looking at the subject of searching for real faith. Searching for real faith is our subject, and our scripture for today is found in James chapter 4. Just one verse that we want to lift out. Not going to spend a lot of time because, as our title of the message will suggest, we should know better. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Let's read that together now. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Before you take your seat, just look at somebody and tell them, you know better. You know better. You may be seated. I don't know whether we did the welcome or not, but that was just your welcome. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for this awesome opportunity that we have to share your word. I pray that we would rightly divide the word of truth, that no error would go out of our lips, but only the words that would be spoken of the Spirit and by the Spirit and through the Spirit, that God, it might have power and impact in our lives as Christians. Thank you for this joyous occasion that we celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Every day is a special day when we think about the goodness of the Lord. Pray you'd bless our time together. Thank you for our group that has come to share with us. And Lord, thank you for Philip and Quincy. And we pray that you would just bless all of us as we strive to honor your name and love you more and serve you better. And now, God, change us by what we hear and change us for the better. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with you that also today at 3 p.m., Deacon Mason of the Lawyers Chapel Baptist Church will be memorialized. Deacon Mason has been a longstanding member of our community, and we understand that his memorial service will be today at 3 p.m. So those of you that can support, 2 p.m., I'm sorry, 2 p.m., so if you can, stop by. Notice what the verse says. Therefore, to him that knows to do good. Knowledge is important. Understanding what ought to be done. We read in the Old Testament that there was a group among the tribes of Israel that they knew what ought to be done in Israel. You would think that our exposure to the Word of God and our coming together to worship God in spirit and in truth, that we would reach a certain level of performance that you wouldn't have to tell us anymore. You would think that from the years of walking with God and having, as many say, met Christ at an early age, we would automatically do better because we know better. What James was doing is reminding the people of his day, and certainly because God has included that in the canon of Scripture, he is saying to us, you need to be held accountable, not just for hearing what God says, but for doing it. Amen. Now, what's unique about this, James tells us in the first chapter in verse 22, he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, and he adds, deceiving yourselves. Now, what's different about this passage here is that he says, to him that knows to do good and does not do it. Amen. It's not just deceiving yourself. It is sin. If you know what ought to be done and then you don't do it, I don't know what to tell you except you're sinning. And you need to do better. You need to be able to say, God, I'm sorry for my sin of not doing. I'm sorry that I didn't carry out what you wanted us to do. Now, I don't think I'm crossing any line when I say that all of us want to do God's will, right? I don't think that we are starting anything when we suggest to you that in doing God's will, God's going to bless you. Is any problem with that? Now, if we know it's right to do God's will, and if we know that God will bless us when we do His will, then why don't we do it? Let me give you some suggestions as we look at this topic. And again, I'm not going to take a lot of time because I think it speaks for itself. So I just want to add a few comments and look at what the truth says. Jesus said, and you shall know what? The truth. And the truth shall do what? Set you free. So in other words, when we know the truth and we're not willing to act on it, you're in bondage. And regardless of how good sin feels, it always places shackles on your hands, shackles on your feet, to where even when you want to do what's right, you can't do it because you're not free. If we would just allow the liberty that comes from God's word, the liberating power that comes from God's word to sink down from our minds because it's entered into our ears, when we allow that word to sink down into our heart, like drops of rain on a summer day, if you just allow that word of God to sink down into that soul of yours and begin to govern your thoughts and your motivations of your heart, you're going to find that God will give you supernatural ability. You'll be walking in what Paul calls the newness of life. Yeah, you'll be walking like you know somebody because you do know somebody. His name is Jesus. Do I have any witnesses in here? We know better. We know better. We know better. What's different about this is that James is introducing not the sin of commission. That's the one that Baptist folk jump on you on. I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't hang around folks that do. You get to all these commissions and doing stuff. Yeah, Baptist folk don't believe in dancing. Well, I guess we done messed up. We got praise dancers here, so I guess we're on the heathen list. We don't talk about the sins of omission. We jump on a person when they come to church and they smell a little alcohol on their breath. You committed some evil. Well, he might have just used some strong mouthwash. I'm just giving them the benefit of the doubt. That's all I'm saying. Man, we will jump on folk. You did something. Even if they did it year before last, you did something. We jump on that sin of commission. Yeah, you evil person. But now what James does is he flips the card on us. He said, wait a minute. If you know to do something and you don't do it, that's omission. Not only are you missing the mark, I love it when people try and they fail. What do you mean by that, preacher? At least they tried. And there's a definition of sin that is called missing the mark. I aimed at it, but I didn't hit it. But when you don't even try, Lord have mercy, preach to me up in here. When you don't even lift a finger, as the Bible says, then you are committing sin. It's omission. talk about those sins of commission, the great Baptist sins, also we like to talk about folk. We'll wear them out. Talk about how they know better. What in the world are they doing in a place like that, a person like them, hanging out in a place like that? And yet the greatest sin is happening as we give the benediction on Sunday. As we close the service, being filled with the power of God, walk out of here and do nothing. You know, I thought about this thing that the religious folk are the only ones that have a don't do list. A lot of folk that want things done, they got a to-do list. Religious folk have a don't do list. As long as you don't do that, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Come to our church, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. Don't sit here, don't go there. Don't. And we stop saying don't, say ah. When are we going to have a to-do list? The agenda being set by the Holy Ghost. God Almighty giving the approval in the second. The Son of God made the motion. Holy Ghost gave the second. Then God the Father said, motion approved. When he sanctioned the church, he sanctioned an organization filled with the power of God Almighty.
Yeah, come on.
He didn't tell us, don't do. He told us, go ye therefore. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then he said, and lo, I'm going to be with you. Because you got a to-do list. You got things you need to do. Look at somebody and say, I got things I need to do.
I got things I got to do.
I ain't got no time to mess with you. But your don't do list. I got things I need to do. I must be about my Father's business. So when we look at this, when we think about the sin of omission, what causes us? What would motivate us? What would get us into this frame of mind that we don't do the things that we ought to do? Well, one is greed. Greed is a powerful thing. In John's letter, he writes of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we got to be careful with greed because you're more focused on what you can get than what you can give. Greed is always focused on the obtaining of things rather than the use of things. Just let me get a little bit more and a little bit more. How much is enough? How much would it take for us to really say, you know what, I got enough, God, I'm satisfied. And as a matter of fact, that's the only cure for greed is satisfaction. And don't you be like Otis Redding, can't get none. Don't sing the song. Don't start. Second thing that helps or hinders people is pride. Having that pride that is focused on status. Now everything that you do is about promoting yourself and saying, this is who I am. And it's not about doing what God would lay on your heart to do. We have the situations that we all deal with greed. And though we can point the finger and say, that's a greedy person, I've seen people dirt poor, just as greedy as they could be. And then I've seen people that didn't have any status but thought they did. You think they were on top of the world because of the way they acted. It's something about when a person has been humbled. The Bible says, and James brings this out, he said, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due time. Didn't he say that? There are some of you that have been humbled because you've been broken. And even though you didn't want God to break you that way, now When you feel pride coming on, you just kind of tuck your head because you know what it means for God, or when God says, sit down now. Any witnesses? And I believe there are a lot of people in this church that have been broken. And you may have, let me just digress a little bit. I'm going to take this little path. You may have said to yourself, why is God humbling me and breaking me this way? As tears stream down your face, why would God bring me to this place of brokenness? He saw some pride in you. And like bitter medicine, God the Father will give you a dose of humility, whether you want to take it or not. Any folk in here, you know what I'm talking about? Been there and stayed too long and want to get out but can't. You want to get loose from it, but you have been now brought under the control of God. And God will say, I will keep you here just a little while longer until I bring out what I know needs to happen in your life. Any folks in here? And I want to thank God for being there. I want to thank God for him taking me there, whether I wanted to or not. And even though I cried because I was there, I thank God that he humbled us under his hand. Because here's the other part. Don't let yourself get up. I'm going to sit down on this one. I got to sit down and preach this one, because if you humble yourself, God says there's a guarantee in due time. In due time, in due time, he will exalt you. And when God picks you up, nobody can put you down. Oh, do I have some witnesses in here today? Yeah, can't nobody do you like Jesus. And so we got to watch pride, you got to watch greed, and then the other thing is you got to watch self. Yeah, I'm talking about you now. I wasn't talking about you the other two times. Now I'm talking about you. This is you. Because self could come into the picture. And what self will say to self is this. I don't have to do for anybody else. I work hard for my stuff. Why am I going to get out here and let folk eat my bread that I had to work for? When I slaved and I worked hard, I can't, it doesn't bother me that they didn't save anything. Now here they come. Do you hear you? Always wanting something. That's self, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know why God gave you the abundance of things and your cup started running over? It wasn't so you could go get another cup. He let your cup run over so you could give somebody else something. Well, that'll preach anywhere. And so it is that we fall into these traps and we just don't do. It's not that we are committing any moral sin or we don't think. But as that heart becomes hardened, and rather than allowing the light of God's truth to shine in, you just draw the drapes and say, no, I want to stay this way. You close the blinds to any opportunities that God would send your way. And you say, I'm comfortable just doing nothing. Jeremiah tried that trick. Word of God began to come into his life and flood it. And for a while, he was enjoying walking in the word and being able to say to people, this is the word of the Lord. But when it started causing problems, Jeremiah said, you know what? I ain't saying nothing. Omission. I'm not going to utter his name. And while he mused over it and thought about it, the internal fire of God's word started being restless within him. And Jeremiah said, it's just like fire shut up in my bones.
I don't want to say anything. I don't want to do anything, but I can't help myself. God got a hold of me. That's what the old folks used to say. They didn't worry about Ebonics kept kicking in. They said, God got a hold of me. And I can't hold. Any witnesses in here? Anybody? Has God ever gotten a hold of you and would not let you go? That means he has a plan and a purpose for your life. That means that there's a to-do list. That means that God has sanctioned something that he wants done. And yes, he could call the angels, but instead he called you. Yeah. Ah, you ought to say like Jesus at 12 years old, I must be about my father. Do y'all see what I'm saying? This thing is getting me filled up here. Y'all got to let me hurry up and preach here. So we have to be careful with this thing and this sin of omission. We know better. And here are the things that motivate us because, number one, when you start your relationship with God, it's not a completion certificate. I don't have my hearing aids in, but I heard that. It's not for you to say, okay, I'm a part of God's family now. Let me sit down. What? You just joined the cast of heaven that's about changing the earth. You just joined the mighty forces that are going through the earth. And while you got on the one hand evil destroying it, you got God's folks standing up as a mighty army. Remember how we used to sing, I'm on the battlefield for the Lord? Now we sing, I'm in a uniform, but I ain't fighting. God leads us. Psalm 23 and verse 3 says, he leads me. Where? In the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Every time you stand and you do what's right or say what's right or stand on the part of right, you're saying, God, I'm being led in this path of righteousness for your name's sake. It's for you, God. Why? Because he's leading you. Now, here's the thing I learned. I figured this thing out. Brother Bolton, I figured this thing out. If you can, listen to this good, Brother Wilson, listen to this. If you can not, or if you can, how do I put this thing? In other words, if you can do something about the omission, y'all listening? I'm trying to work through this. So if I do what I ought to do, that should take up my time to where I don't do what I ought. Brilliant. If you do what you ought to do, if you do what's right, and that's what God said over and over to Israel, if you do what's right in my eyes, I will be with you. Here we have in this 21st century a church that seemingly has lost its way. We're allowing every wind to come in and move us this direction. Well, we don't do that at our church. And so this church over here trying to be like that church over there. And they're trying to everybody do. And if you're not a Christian, unless you do these things and unless you vote a certain way. Wait a minute. Our king ain't running for re-election. He's been anointed, not elected. Everybody's confused. We don't know what the church is because we don't know what we ought to be doing. Will you please read Psalm 23? He leads you to do what's right in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. But here's a good one. Here's the one right here. And you have the Holy Spirit's power. If you ever have a chance of memorizing scripture, memorize Romans 8. Starts off by saying, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Don't give me a list of commandments knowing I don't have power to do it. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he gave himself for us. And then he goes on to say, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Say that with me. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. That's you and me. So now, not only are you being led in the path of righteousness, but now you have the power of God, and as he holds you in that, and as he works through you to carry out his will, you've got the power of God now in you. And he's doing according to his will and his purpose. He knew that we'd give up. He knew you'd get frustrated and not throw up one hand. You know, when you throw up one hand, psh. Some of y'all don't throw up both your hands. Psh. And you're gone. But the Spirit of God grabs hold of you and said, wait a minute, let me show you what my will is. Anybody learning anything? Amen. I am. We know better because we have the Spirit. We know better because we're being led in the path of righteousness, but we also have something that we need to think about. The Spirit always grows stuff. He grows you, and as you're maturing, as you are developing in your faith, here's what the Holy Spirit's going to grow in your life. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, and then watch the second one that comes behind it, joy. Some of us will say, well, I got to love everybody. And you got your head hung down. You can't even see people. I hate it when you got people in the service industry want to serve people. You go drive to some of these restaurants and their attitude comes through the microphone. All you want is a sandwich and a drink and maybe a big fry. And they say, may I help you? No, you ain't gonna help me. You might sabotage my food. And we as Christians have been called to the service industry. We've been called to serve people with the resources of heaven. And one of those resources is the fruit that we bear through the Spirit. The love. The joy. The peace. The long, long suffering. That means you put up with folk even when they get on your last nerve. But joy is right in the midst of it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's what gets you up on a day that you don't feel like getting up. It's what moves you when you don't even feel like moving. God, I tried this yesterday and I failed miserably. I tried to do what's right and I got knocked down for it. And you're telling me, get back up? Yes. How am I going to get up? Let me give you some joy. Let me send some joy your way. And when God sends the joy your way, it'll put clapping in your hands. And that joy might come in the form of a song that you heard a long time ago, about 3:30 in the morning. That song might come back to you and might be, I hope it don't be this way always. Yeah. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. Or he might put a new modern song, I've been blessed today. Yeah, I like that one too. But you have the joy of the Lord as the thing that strengthens you. You've got the Holy Ghost to move you. You are in a path of righteousness, and now you've got joy as your fruit. I believe, as the old folks say, we can run on and see what the end's going to bring because we already know the one who's going to bring the end to it. And so it is that we've been called upon. We have been called upon to not only know better, but to do better. And as I close this message, I want us to think about when we go out of these doors. Well, first we're going downstairs to get something to eat. Then we're going out the doors. But as we prepare ourselves for another week of service, I want you to be motivated. I want you to be motivated to the point where you understand that not only is it your mission to do what's right, If you do not carry out your mission, you're sinning against God. Amen. Let me give you an example. For me to say to someone, I see that they're hungry and I see that they're naked, God bless you. We're going to pray for you. And I've got the means to do. And do it not. You know what I've done? I've sinned against that person. And I've sinned against God Almighty. Well, but they didn't look right. Well, neither did you look right before God found you. Goodness sakes. Amen. Look at you now. Amen. You've got to know when God is working in your life. Very quickly as we close this message. Everybody say, knowing better. Knowing better. We know better because God is now working with us. And so we have pages after pages in the Bible of people who knew better. When you know it for yourself, man, you're not worried about reading it secondhand. You're getting it directly from God. Can I call up the three Hebrew boys?
Abel.
Now, we wear those guys out. We wear them out. We're going to get to heaven. They say, why y'all wear us out? Every time we turn around, you're calling on us to be a witness. But they said something that made sense. Not only did it make sense, it made practice. God is able. Let me give you the conditions of where they were in. They said it as a truth. But now here was a furnace heated beyond capacity that they were getting ready to be thrown into. All right? And they said, God is able. Now, that's a truth that you can state. But when you've lived it, that thing didn't come to them as a living truth until they were in the middle of the fiery furnace. And in the middle of the fire, they said it on the outside. But then I believe they said it on the inside. God is able. Anybody know that God is able? He's able. Right in the midst of the fire, that fourth man showed up. Threw in three, but then they got multiplied because the fourth man showed up. And the king looked at him and said, wait a minute, I need a mathematician here. I need somebody that can count figures. We threw in three, and three ought to equal three. But I see somebody else in the fire, that fourth man. Look at somebody and say, that fourth man. This fourth man walked on water. This fourth man raised the dead. That fourth man fed 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread. I wish the fourth man would just show up sometime. And ladies and gentlemen, when you see the fourth man, you can walk right. When you see the fourth man, you can talk right. When you see that fourth man, what's his name? His name is Jesus. High five somebody. Tell him I got the fourth man on my side. I got the fourth man here. He is able. He is able. I don't care what anybody says. I might be in a mess today, but he is able. He is able. I might be in a fire, but he is able. He is able. And they testified. But not only did they testify, Miss Newby, they were able to live it because that fourth man. But that's not the end of it. God is also faithful. A lot of us say, well, God is faithful. Yeah, you say that, which means he's going to show up on time, right? Moses said it when he looked back over the journeys of the children of Israel and all the hardships that they'd gone through. Deuteronomy means a second look. So they were able to look back a second time, Joe. They were able to say, wait a minute, let me look back and see where the Lord brought me from. Oh, don't y'all say it. Go on and say it. He brought me from a mighty long way. Go on and say it. Go on and testify. You are a witness. You know what the Lord can do. You know what he's brought you through. Every storm, every trial, every situation, God has been faithful. And he says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do. I feel like preaching this morning. Moses began to look back and saw that 1 million people plus that he had to bring through the area where they had scorpions. He had to bring through, Brother Hurt, the place where they had no bread. But God rained down the manna from on high. Now, I know some of y'all weren't in the wilderness, but you've been in a place where you didn't have any bread. As a matter of fact, you didn't even have any flour. But God made, do I have some folk in here? I just need about five folk in here that will say, he brought me from a mighty long way. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's bad when you don't have the bread, but another thing when you ain't even got flour. But look at God. He's a way maker. As the old preacher said, he's a burden bearer. Yes, he is. He's the joy of my salvation. Oh, yes, he is. You can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. I know what the Lord can do. I know he can make a way out of no way. I know he can dry the tears from your streaming eyes. I know because he's faithful. Thank God he's faithful. He's a mighty warrior on the battlefield. He's a provider when everything runs low. Thank God. Thank God. He is faithful. He is faithful. Ah, y'all shouting like you know something. You're up because you know something. But here's the other thing. Moses said, I know this thing. All right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, y'all sit down because Moses has said, he said, not only is God able, but he's faithful. Okay, Moses, I believe you're going to have to sit down too because we know something else about God. He's good. He's good. Before I give the verse, I want to share the story by Chuck Swindoll. He tells the story. He says that, and this all has to do with Christian action. He says that a lot of us are so self-centered that we don't think about others. But when you receive faith, you receive other faith. That faith applies to the good and the benefit of others. He said two men were in the hospital room, both of them recovering from their illnesses. The man that was away from the window got depressed. And he asked the man that was near the window, can you tell me what's going on? And the man near the window said to him, well, it's looking like spring outside. Flowers are blooming. And I can hear the little children playing outside the window. The man over in the corner, he felt better. That's what I needed to hear. Thank you. The next day, he began to get depressed again, and he asked him, can you tell me what's going on outside? He said, well, oh, today is a good day. He said, matter of fact, there's a bird in the window. I can't hear everything that he's saying or singing, but there's a bird out in the window, beautiful bird. And the man over in the corner said, thank you. That really brightens my day. The next day, he would get up and he'd ask him what's going on outside. He'd always paint this picture and tell him about the beauty just outside the window. And then late one night, the man by the window started choking. As a matter of fact, he couldn't move and he couldn't ring the bell to get someone in to care for him. And the man over in the corner thought about it. He said, yeah, I need to call somebody. But then he thought, if I don't call anybody, I might be able to get his bed. And then I can enjoy the scene outside the window. So he didn't call. He didn't act. He didn't whisper a word. And the man near the window passed away. And so while they were coming to remove his body, they asked him, say, well, what happened? He said, well, all I heard was a noise, and before I could get to the call bell, he had slipped away. He said, oh, by the way, can I have his his bed near the window. They said, well, of course. And so they moved him closer to the window. He said, can you pull back the shade so I can see what's on the outside? And he pulled back the shades, and there was nothing but a brick wall. What's the lesson? The man who was first by the window saw beyond the wall. Because he looked beyond that man's fault and saw his need. You may not have a lot of resources, but if you can use what you've got to honor God, be that person that will say, let me help you. I can't solve all your problems, but I can help. Here's the reason why. Because God is good. What gives me assurance is that I know that on tomorrow, that statement will still be true. God is good. And I don't know who first said it, but they said it right. He's good all the time. He doesn't pick his days. He doesn't choose his moments. But God is a good God. And here's the context of Psalm 27 when he recognized that God was good. Verse 13, he says, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Who knows whether or not that man in the window didn't keep the man in the corner alive through his goodness. You don't know whose life you might touch because you have God's grace. And you know one fact, I may not have everything, but I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Anybody will stand up to that and just give God praise for that? Yes, yes, it's right. It's right. The goodness of the Lord. I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We're going to give the invitation if there be one today.